I asked him. He talked with some folks higher up and got me the clearance to go. I think he even gave up a spot for some of his group to come so I could have it. And then he also was the one who was able to reach out to Mr. Pruitt, the EPA administrator, and get a sit-down meeting with him. So it was really great to have the opportunity to bring the Hoosick Falls experience down to EPA as they are looking to communicate that they are moving forward on the PFAS situation.
What were you able to say to Scott Pruitt?
I communicated a couple things. The big points that our community and others have been saying is that we need clear federal regulations and guidelines, and that comes in the form of an MCL, a maximum contaminant level, and it also comes in the form of actually declaring PFOA, PFOS as a hazardous substance, which has happened at the state level, but at the federal level has not happened. The other big thing that I had heard from a lot of members in the community was some outrage over a report that there was a study by the ATSDR that was going to be released that was going to recommend even lower numbers than the advisory numbers now. The report said EPA and the White House sort of put a hold on that. When speaking to Administrator Pruitt, he communicated that he would not even have the ability to hold something like that or release something like that. It wasn't his to do anything with, and he didn't even know of the study until the report came out. I think it was in Politico. He listened. I communicated a little bit about the Hoosick Falls experience that we've had, how it's been an emotional roller coaster, but how we've also been focused on getting some goals for not just our village, but for the national conversation that seems to have finally arrived about this class of chemicals.
Was there any discussion at the summit or stated from Administrator Pruitt about a possible lowering of that threshold that for PFAS chemicals in drinking water?
Yeah, he was very upfront both in meeting with me with his statements online and his statements there about the goals that they're going after right now. And they've started the process for setting an MCL, and they've started the process for naming this as a hazardous substance. And I communicated to him the same thing that I think the village and the area feels. This is all great stuff. We're going to be really happy when we see it in action, when we see things moving forward and when these standards are set. And one of the things that came out of all the dialogue and discussion, the questions at the conference, was how all of these regions and all these states, and I think there were over 40 states and tribes represented, they all want the same thing. They want clear guidelines. They want clear standards. They want to know exactly what needs to be done at what point and how to do it. So I think that was probably the single biggest theme that I saw come out of the conference throughout the day.
Were you able to meet with leaders from other communities that have also been affected by PFOA, PFOS, and other PFAS chemicals?
Yeah, I got to connect with Andrea Amico, who is from New Hampshire. She's done a lot of work for testing for peas, which is a Superfund site that has contamination from some former Department of Defense, the firefighting foam. But I also got to reach out with some people from Michigan. I've already been in contact with people from Vermont, from Massachusetts. And it's interesting to see how each situation is unique in its own way, but we still have the same needs, the clear guidelines, and also in a lot of situations, funding. That was another big theme that came up, funding for testing, funding for getting filtration if it's needed. In our situation, when the state declared PFOA a hazardous substance, it gave them legal authority to get a consent order, and that put responsible parties connected to the situation. Other places don't have that luxury. Other places have had struggles with the Department of Defense to get them to cover the cost of things, like in Newburgh, New York, like in Westfield, Massachusetts. So it was interesting to really connect and see all the different stories, but the common threads between them all.
If action is taken at the outcome of this summit at the federal level, would that assist Hoosick Falls in its negotiations with Saint-Gobain and Honeywell, which are the companies at the focus of the pollution investigation in Hoosick Falls?
Well, you know, that's a good question and complicated answer. First off, I don't think with the normal timelines of the EPA getting to an MCL, it's going to be anytime soon. So in terms of a setting for an MCL, it's really going to be on New York State. And we had both DEC and DOH there represented, and Brad Hutton of DOH asked a great question and also mentioned that New York is not going to wait. They've already been in motion, and they're going to be deciding, I think, fairly soon on what their MCL recommendation is going to be. Now, how that would have any effect with discussions and for St. Clair and Honeywell, not exactly sure. That'd be a great question for my attorney.
What is the status of locating a new water source for the village of Hoosick Falls?
It's moving. It's moving slower than everyone wants, but that's because there isn't really a silver bullet solution right off the bat. There's more investigation going in terms of possible groundwater, surface water, like the Tom Hannock is an example. There were a lot of avenues looked into within the area, and because it has to be both the quality of water has to be right and the quantity has to be right, there hasn't been a silver bullet solution yet. It's something we pay attention to. We talk with DEC and DOH practically on a weekly basis to get updates and pass on anything we have. I would say it's a growing frustration amongst the community, and I feel it myself. And we have so many great things going on in Hoosick Falls, but the question still remains about the water source. And I think that the new water source, when it finally arrives, is going to be the key to bringing, you know, everything back to where it was and then some.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, Mayor, in the past 2 years, you went from a concerned teacher and somebody who was very active in attending village board meetings about the PFOA. A year later, you were elected mayor, and a little over a year after that, you've gone to Washington to meet with the head of the EPA about this issue. Reflecting on that, you know, what's going through your mind now after this trip?
You know, I'm thinking as a teacher communicating to students that when you start to think that things aren't possible and you can't make a difference, you've already lost. I'm just a music teacher. I'm just a guy who had a concern. I got educated. I decided to do something, and I went after it with all that I can, and it made a difference. And I think that, you know, small town local government, you can make really, really big differences and help out your community. And I would just encourage people to do that, to find a way that they can make a difference, dig in and go. It's a great ride.